Welcome back to the Bless Business Podcast. And today we are completing part two of The Art of Conflict Resolution. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and back with me today is Tony Pimpo. Welcome, Tony.
Glad to be here.
Well, last time we talked about a number of things. Can you give us a little bit of a recap, Tony, of last time?
Yes. So we really went over the source of conflict. So the fact that people are wired to disagree, right? And the fact that as individuals, we're going to have differences of opinions. We operate with free will. And we went over a few of the analogies that we can use to describe conflict resolution. So one of those was conflict resolution as a bridge, you know, coming from those two different sides and the way that we work together to build that and bridge the gap. And then also looking at it like a puzzle, you know, where different people have some of the answers and the solutions to the problem. And, you know, when you bring those together, the end result is something better than the sum of its parts, right? So also we started going into some of the different tips to help you improve your conflict resolution skills. One of those was just staying calm and composed, and how that helps bring down the temperature in conflict. So I think what we're going to be doing is diving into the rest of those today. That's right. So
well, there's a lot more to it than just that. So yeah, that was a great recap. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that episode, I highly recommend going back and listening to that. And if you're back because you're ready to hear more details, then we're glad that you've joined us today. So we're going to dive back into some of these 10 tips for becoming better at conflict resolution. As we said last time, become a conflict resolution ninja.
Yes.
Rather than an ostrich with your head in the sand, hiding or avoiding it altogether, or just beating people over the head, right? Because that's not going to be very effective. But number two in our points, again, number one was stay calm and composed. There was a lot that we unpacked on that last time. But number two is address conflicts promptly. Don't allow conflicts to fester. Address issues as soon as they arise to prevent them from escalating and causing additional problems. Tell us a little bit more of what your thoughts are about taking care of things quickly.
Yeah. We touched on this a little bit last time too, but really the larger a problem becomes, the harder it is to deal with. And many times starting small enables you to deal with it before you have to bring in others, because right. You know, the larger a problem gets, the more people are involved, and then the more opinions are involved, and the more emotions are involved, and etc. It just
it's like
multiplies.
A snowball.
Yeah,
it's exactly. A snowball at the top of the mountain. If you throw it at somebody,
yes.
Right, that's one thing. But if you put the let this, you know, fester, and you wait and you're trying to have your argument instead of on top of the mountain, you're having the argument at the bottom of the mountain, and you let that snowball go down the mountain, you've created an avalanche.
Right. Yeah.
Right? It's going to annihilate both of you and probably destroy the village and the ski resort and everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it has ramifications beyond just you and the person you're with if you let things continue to spiral out of control.
Yeah. And sometimes people don't address things until they're really mad. And that is a
emotionally
not a good
up.
Trait, you know. If I don't work on that, that can be me sometimes. I just wait till I'm upset about it to talk about it. But
sure.
It's kind of like a pot. You don't want to wait till it boils, right?
Right, yeah.
Boils over. Dress it when it's not at that point. And so I think even the Bible talks about it, you know, settle matters quickly with your adversary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Agree with him while you're in the way. There's a scripture that talks
Matthew
about that.
Matthew 5 and 25.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're addressing it before it becomes something larger.
Well, I think it's interesting because the thing is, and that scripture talks about, you know, take care of it on the way so that he doesn't hand you over to the judge. Because the problem is, if it gets that big, it's going to get nasty.
Yeah.
And like your reputation could get smeared. And like if it's between just two people, that's one thing. But if it goes to court and like people are knowing about this, it really is not good to expose your dirty laundry, so to speak, to the world.
Well, it depends how big your company is, too. True. It's like, you know, if you have a large amount of employees and there's an issue, it can spread quickly. So,
well, and then you can have people in the ranks that are like, ooh, you know, I'm kind of worried about what's going on in the company. And then it creates, you know, loss of productivity. Whereas it may just be an issue between the manager and one employee. But if you don't deal with that and deal with it promptly, then they're going to be at the water cooler, you know, talking about it to other people, and it's going to be festering, and they're only going to get one side of opinion. And then you have to have a whole company wide meeting to, like, you know, set this record straight. Yeah. And it's just not good. No. So you want to address conflicts promptly, so they don't grow out of control, and so that their damage control is as most effective as possible at that point. You know, a fire that you can put out with a fire extinguisher is a lot better than a fire that takes, you know, a whole team of fire trucks and, you know, a helicopter dumping all their, you know, fire retardant chemicals and stuff, a forest fire, right? A
lot less damage.
A lot less collateral damage, and that's what we're trying to avoid. And so number three, so that was good. Number three is practice active listening. This is probably one of the hardest for me. This is basically where you give the other party your full attention and listen carefully to their concerns. Show empathy and avoid interrupting. That's my weakness right there, interrupting or jumping to conclusions. That's another big weakness. This is definitely the one I struggle with the most.
Well, I think it's a common one to struggle with all of us. You know, when you hear somebody talking, your first reaction can be, well, you know, what about this, or what about that, or what about you,
or
you know,
as they're talking,
you're exactly
formulating your combative response.
Yes.
Rather than actually listening and empathizing. And there's a saying that, you know, seek first to understand, then to be understood.
Yeah. And I think Chris Voss talks about this too. You don't have to agree with someone to empathize with them.
That's good.
You're basically just hearing out their position and acknowledging that they feel this way. You know, whether it's correct or not, that can be determined as you work through it. But just acknowledging that, okay, you know, that's where you are and I'm hearing it. And active listening is part of doing that, giving them your full attention, listening carefully, and making sure that you communicate back to them what you feel that they're saying to you. So sometimes, like, summarizing.
This is what I, you know, this is what you said. Here's what I heard that you said.
Right.
That way, and that way they have the opportunity to correct.
To
say,
correct
no, that's
you.
That's not what I meant to
yes.
say.
Yes.
Right. Which gives them an opportunity to save face, which is very important. A lot of people don't realize it, but a lot of people like to save face.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to have, if you give them an out, they'll be hot off the starting line. But if you give them an opportunity, a very safe way to de-escalate, a lot of times people will, if they can save face, but they feel like they've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, the reason people don't do that a lot of times is they view it combatively. So they look at this as a tug of war, and there's a knot in the middle of the rope, and there's a line. And if I take a step towards them, then that's giving ground to the enemy, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm giving them more, you know, fodder for their cannons, right? Or the more ammunition to shoot with me at, right? But instead, really, it's a collaborative effort. It should be in most reasonable and logical people.
Especially if you have shared goals.
Yeah, if you have unity of purpose, like we talked about last time, then conflict resolution should be a collaborative effort, not a combative effort. So it's not a tug of war. It's, hey, let's come together and let's solve this. Let's resolve this together. You want to come together. You're not just trying to tug them over to your side and convince them or drag them kicking and screaming to your point of view. And I have struggled with that before, because if I feel like I'm really, really right on something and somebody just does not agree, it's like, we need to go to this restaurant, or we need to launch this campaign, or I think this marketing email is way better than the other one, or, you know, I think this customer needs to be, you know, dealt with in XYZ manner. And so it's very challenging for me, because I'm a type A personality, visionary, leader of the company. I just want to bulldoze my way through, but that's not effective, because a lot of times if I listen to other people's opinions and I'm collaborative instead of combative and I'm actively listening to people, I actually realize, oh, what they're saying makes sense. That's different than my perspective, but they may have other knowledge about the situation, or they may have a different perspective that I didn't even consider.
Yeah. Yeah. And perspective is always something good to get from others, just to see the way that they are viewing something, because everyone looks at things differently.
Your paradigm is going to be different than mine.
Right.
Your life experiences, your interaction with that customer, like you're in project management, you know, your day-to-day activities of being involved with that customer may be different than someone else in the company. And so you may be able to go to bat for somebody and say, no, actually, here's what they really want. Yes. Whereas they're like, oh man, they're just asking for a new feature. And you may say, well, here's the reason why. But if that person who's maybe even someone who's got more say-so says, hey, look, no, we're just going to go do blah, blah, blah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just bulldoze right through it, but they didn't listen to your perspective on it. That's not good.
Yeah. Sometimes being closer to the situation gives you more insight. And then the converse is also true. Sometimes being able to look at it from a higher level can give you more insight. So I think that's why bringing those two together helps to get to where we really need to go. You know, like, here's my boots on the ground perspective. Here's your higher level. I'm looking at it from this perspective, you know, depending on what type of conflict it is, if you're the business owner with an employee, but it can also be, you know, peer to peer. So these go all different ways in a workplace, you know.
Absolutely. Well, James chapter 1 and 19 talks about this, and he says, you know, be quick to quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry.
Yes.
And I think that is wisdom from a biblical perspective, because if you're quick to jump in and speak about a situation before you've heard the matter, I believe that the Bible in another place talks about how that's what a fool does, is they'll speak before they hear a matter to its end.
Yeah. And speaks all his mind.
That's right. And he speaks all of his mind. And so, I'll be honest, in different relationships that I have, I assume a lot. You'll start, you know, saying something, and I'll be like, whether it's in business or, you know, conflict or whatever it is, and I'll be like, I assume this is the path we're on, right? We talked about in another episode, the happy path and the sad path. I'm like, okay, we're definitely on the sad path. Here's the way to the happy path. But it's like, wait, no. Like, that's not even the same interstate system. And so that's not even where I was going. But so that's why it's important to practice active listening, so that you, as a business leader, as a person who's trying to bring peace to the situation, have all the different pieces of that puzzle, like we talked about earlier, to actually put something together, to be that emissary of peace, to bring things together.
Right.
So number four, and this one can be a little controversial, and that is use I statements instead of you statements. And you know, a lot of times you want to avoid using I, me, because it makes it all about you. But there are times in certain types of conflict where it's better to use an I than a you. For example, instead of saying, you hurt me really bad when you said this, or you have a bad idea, instead say, I feel like there is a better solution than that. I have a difference of opinion. Let's talk about this, versus you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking some ownership.
Well, that's a good point. So it brings ownership of, here's what I'm hearing you say, instead of just saying, you're saying blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Say, I hear you saying X, Y, and Z. Again, because that gives that opportunity, like we talked about earlier, to correct, to amend, you know, to kind of change the perspective and give them opportunity to kind of tweak a little bit to save face. So be sure that you frame things in such a way that you take ownership for your perspective, but at the same time giving, but not forcing onto other people your assumptions.
Yes.
You're doing this, you're saying this, you want this, you're, et cetera.
Yeah. Summarizing, like you mentioned, gives that person a chance to correct you if they feel you did not adequately
grasp
what they were talking about. I like doing that just in many different areas, even not in a conflict situation, but just kind of restate it before, like if it's an action item, this is how I understand this, you know? And I think that is something that can actually help avoid future conflict by clearly communicating And so using those statements where you summarize is a helpful thing. And it takes it from being, like you said, you to more of an ownership. And there's ways to even structure it to where you don't necessarily have to start with I either.
That's true.
You could be like, it seems like this, or it sounds like, and that's an even a different
probably
way
even better,
to, yeah, it depends. Like you said, there's different ways of going about it, but definitely don't want to go in with you know,
pushing just, the you button.
Defense goes up. Defense is sure. Like, you want to get someone in a defensive position, you right. know, and you don't want to be in a defensive position yourself. Either way, it's not healthy.
Because you're removing them from the negative side of the equation, and you're just making the problem instead of, because a lot of reasons conflict begins in the first place is they're taking it too personal to begin.
Yes, yeah, like isolating the players from the situation. Like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. And it's not really about personality right now. Mm-hmm. And there are instances where someone is, you know, does have a problem with it, but sure. most of the time it's an issue, and like taking your personal feelings out of the issue
right.
helps you to look at it more clearly.
Excellent. Well, number five is seek understanding. Again, I've said this multiple times, but I think it's worth saying again, is seek first to understand, then to be understood. You have to strive to understand the other person's perspective and feelings. This is where the emotional and relational intelligence comes in, the book recommendations we had last time, and we'll put the links down in the show notes for those books again. But you have to be in tune with both your feelings and be authentic with those, but then also clue into other people's.
Yeah.
So it's not just about hearing their perspective, because I'm a fairly logical guy, and like I can logic out, okay, here's what they're thinking, here's where they're coming from. But sometimes, because I'm not a superly emotionally driven person, if someone is more emotional driven rather than logic driven, I struggle to grasp that.
Yeah.
And so I have to really work hard to understand that aspect of it, whereas I may not have to work quite as hard to understand the logic side of it.
Mm-hmm. It just depends on personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and so a way you can do this is to ask open-ended questions.
Yes.
To gain clarity and encourage open communication. So maybe instead of saying, you know, this project is going terrible, you could say, okay, what do you think is going well with this project, and what could be improved?
Right. Because that's not a yes no question.
Right.
Or like, do you think this project is going well?
Right. Perfect. That's a better example. Do you think it's going good? Yes or no? And they're like, well, no, because I'm mad about blah, 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 blah.
Right. Yeah.
And we're not meeting our objectives. Whereas if you ask those open-ended non-yes and no questions, it definitely leads to a happier path.
Mm-hmm.
And even like, asking questions like, okay, so you've brought some concerns to me, okay, with your coworker or with how we're handling the project or how we're spending the budget or whatever, what would your suggestions be?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a way to say, okay, what basically you're putting them in the driver's seat to say, you've got an issue. Now, what is your resolution? What is your proposed resolution? And then you have the opportunity, now that they've voiced themselves and they feel heard, then you come back and say, oh, that's a really interesting perspective. So you say, okay, you're identifying and giving them the credibility of having a valid opinion, but say, you know what I see where you're coming from, and that makes a lot of sense, but here's how I view this a little bit differently, that I think that we could bring those two perspectives together.
Yes.
Here's how we can resolve this. And so if you incorporate a little bit of, give them that confidence booster of, okay, I've been heard. I've got hope that he's willing to listen to me and work towards a healthy, you know, conflict resolution here. Then you can start putting forth your opinion. Then you can augment, you know, what they said, or you can amend what they said and kind of point it towards a slightly different path, right?
Yeah.
But it's first after you've understood and reiterated to the point where they feel like they've been understood.
Before you move on. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that's important. You know, Proverbs 4:7 talks about how, you know, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it cost you all you have, get understanding. You want to get understanding. There's wisdom in seeking understanding, of making sure you fully grasp what's going on.
Yeah, because you can't properly address it if you don't fully understand it, because you may be addressing something that is different than what is reality.
Exactly.
You know, it's your understanding of it that you're addressing, not what's actually happening.
Right, and it's so true. So let's move on to point number six here. So focus on the issue at hand. Avoid bringing up past grievances and unrelated issues. Concentrate on resolving the current conflict and finding a mutually agreeable solution. And I think this is important for a number of reasons, but if you, you've mentioned this, I've mentioned this, but a lot of times in conflict, the situation is such that the issue is not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are bringing all these, you know, different issues into the same situation, it's not, you can't effectively tackle any one of them.
Right.
You're juggling too many things. Do you have any other thoughts about how this could be important on focusing on the issue at hand?
Well, I think if it is a case where there are multiple issues over a long period of time, I think starting to just address them one by one is going to be the most effective way to do it, right? So you don't want to be focused on unrelated things. And like you said, many times someone will come and it's not the actual issue. So you got to get to the heart of what it is. And if there are multiple ones, I think you need to take care of them, you know, maybe in the order in which they were received,
well,
so to speak.
List.
Yeah, like,
say,
let's go. So like, I'm hearing we have a problem here, 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 you know, maybe you start with what.
Let's table these others. I've written them down. Going back to the understanding, I understand that there's multiple issues here.
Yes.
I'm going to table that for now and let's focus on one and then we will come back to that. But again, people are going to continuously try to bring that back up until they feel like there is a path forward and that those have been addressed. So you're addressing them without fully addressing them, because you've acknowledged them.
Yeah, acknowledgement, I think, gives space for that to be, okay, now we can talk about what's just happened and get that fixed without worrying that you're not going to hear out whatever else there may be that's involved. So
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Well, and it really keeps you focused, keep the main thing the main thing.
Yes.
And you have to, and as the leader and as the peacemaker in the particular situation, you have to guard that. Because when someone says, you know, well, last week you did such and such for so-and-so, you know, they had an issue with the client and you handled it totally different.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unrelated issue.
Yes.
Right. And so, and if you feel assaulted as the leader of like your leadership skills and your leadership approach and the decisions you made are being challenged, now you're feeling personally affronted, right? Because
mm-hmm.
A lot of times people lash out in conflict to just like poke the bear, right?
Yeah.
They want to. I'm feeling bad, so I'm going to poke you. You know, someone poked me, so I'm poking you back. Again, if you poke each other's eyes out, the whole world's going to be blind. And so you have to really guard that and rein in those emotions, like we talked about in the first episode. The first part one of this is you have to have the mental and the emotional discipline to not let other issues become the issue.
Yeah.
But keep the main thing the main thing. So, all right, number seven here is be open to compromise. Compromise is one of those words that we don't like, but you have to be willing to make concessions and find a middle ground that satisfies both parties. Recognize that you may not always get exactly what you want, but a compromise can still lead to a positive outcome. And so compromise, I never liked the idea of giving up ground. If I'm right, I'm right, and that's the way it's got to be. But if you have unity of purpose, if you're building a blessed business, if you're doing something that has, you know, eternal ramifications, whether in the kingdom of God or in building a business that furthers and advances the kingdom of God, there's things that are so much bigger. I like our pastor, Pastor Caleb Adams, has told me a number of times that think about the issue at hand and ask yourself, in 10 years, am I even going to remember what this is? But in 10 years, is this going to matter?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is this a hill worth dying on?
Is this a hill worth dying on? And so, yes, compromises. We don't like the idea of compromising, but instead we can find a healthy middle ground
mm-hmm.
to where it's like, you know what? You get what you want. I get what I want. But at the same time, that means I'm going to have to like shift maybe a little bit, and you may have to shift a little bit. And so obviously we don't compromise on morals. Like, you know, someone says, hey, we need to lie to the client because we dropped the ball. No, yeah. We don't compromise on that.
Right. There are certain things that we can work with, and other things that are just non-negotiable, even beyond just issues of morality, right? There are certain things that, I think there was an analogy of if someone wants to wear black shoes and other person wants to wear brown, right? A compromise is going to be one black shoe, one brown shoe, right? And that's just not a good outcome. Right. So there are certain instances where it won't work, but I think it's where you have to look at it in the sense of, is this a hill worth dying on, right? Is this a core issue for the company, or is it a, you know, direction that we've decided we need to go? There's just a whole different range of things. But I think most things, compromise can really...
can bring a lot, bring you both a lot closer to a resolution.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love your analogy of one black shoe and one brown shoe, you know, because a lot of times, you know, that isn't a healthy compromise. Mm-mm. But maybe a healthy compromise is, you know what, today we're both going to wear black shoes.
There you go. Exactly.
Next week we'll wear brown shoes.
Yeah.
You know, or tomorrow, right? And so there are ways to, like, even though that technically was a little bit of a compromise, but you got the mission today accomplished and you're not fighting over this, right?
Yeah. You're not doing something in a way that's going to hamper the overall effort. It's you're working with somebody else. And yeah, that's a great way of taking that further.
Well, and I think it comes down to humility. A lot of this comes down to the having the humility to put other people's interests first and above your own.
Yep.
Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Yeah, that's so good.
You have to separate yourself and say, okay, is my opinion more important than somebody else's?
Right.
Is my approach to this, you know, better than somebody else's? And sometimes it may be. But it may be like, you know what, there's two paths to the same outcome. Mm-hmm. And as a leader, if, again, you have to decide, is this worth fighting over? Or can I say, you know what, as long as we're meeting the goals and we're, you know, morally and ethically doing things right, and we're not compromising on anything else as far as that's detrimental to the, you know, the future and the value of the company, can we make maybe a sidestep here that still gets us to the right spot? And what you've done, and we talked about this a couple episodes ago, about how as a leader, you have influence coins.
Mm-hmm.
You build up influence. So when you work with people, you add those back in your piggy bank. When you demand that people conform to your way of doing things, then you're spending those coins.
Mm-hmm.
And so you lose some of that influence. And so when you work together with people, it creates that collaborative environment rather than a combative culture.
Yeah. Yep.
And so number 8 here is that we need to use assertive communication. Clearly express your needs and expectations without being aggressive or confrontational. Practice using a confident tone and a non-threatening body language. You mentioned this earlier, like you've got, you know, your arms up and you're like in defensive mode, mm-hmm. and everything, or like I talked about, you've got your fists out and you're ready to go to battle, right? You pull out your sword, your Nerf sword, or Nerf gun, and your you know, foam sword, and you're like, we're gonna have office wars, right? That's not a healthy way to start this. So what are some of your thoughts on using assertive communication but not necessarily domineering conversation or communication?
Well, I think a lot of it is clarity in what you're saying, because many times the case is someone doesn't really want to make an assertive statement because you have to be accountable for that statement, right? So if you really spell it out,
you have to commit to that.
You have to commit to that. Yeah. And so if there's ambiguity, there's room for miscommunication. And so I think clearly figuring out what you need to say and then saying it is being assertive, you know, because you're staking that claim, you know, you're making that statement. And so working with people, I think in the process of working with people, you can learn, you know, which statements you need to be making and how you need to to work this out. So there are times where you can find that, you know, the way I said that was not successful, right? And I think being aware of the results of what you're saying can help you kind of hone that. Mm-hmm. And so I think being assertive is mainly being clear.
Yes. Well, I like Ephesians 4 talks about this. It says speaking the truth in love.
Right.
So sometimes the truth hurts, right?
Yeah.
because the truth is you're underperforming or you've got the wrong approach or you did something wrong. But if you speak it in love.
Yeah.
With charity, right? With empathy, with sympathy, with like your approach, it matters a lot less what you say than how you say it.
Right? Yeah, I've heard that love without truth is soft. Truth without love is hard.
That's
gotta
good.
Have them both.
Well, and the thing is, this is a skill that you have to hone.
Right.
Because our natural tendency is, and our personality types, all those things are kind of set to a large degree. So we have to train and develop ourselves and out of those things or grow past some things. If you have a very aggressive, blunt personality, and you realize, man, I'm just creating conflict everywhere I'm going, you have to be big enough and humble enough to take a step back and say, I'm being overly, instead of being assertive, I'm being domineering.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to recognize that and address that and say, okay, how can I season my conversation with a little bit more love?
Yeah.
Even though it may seem a little petty to you, like, man, these all these emotional people, they're like wearing their feelings on their sleeves. We just got to take care of business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you have to recognize that you have to soften that.
And it depends on what your relationship is with the person.
True.
Some people, they know you, they respect you, they trust you. You can be a little more direct, right? Bible talks about faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes, you know, we've talked a lot about this almost in the context of people coming to you with issues, but sometimes you do have to go to someone else as a business leader or, a mediator and address something that might be happening. And I think that this also plays into that too.
Sure. Well, wrapping up quickly here, points 9 and 10. So tip number nine is maintain a respectful attitude. Treat the other person with respect and avoid using derogatory language or personal attacks. Show appreciation for their point of view, even when you don't agree with it. I think we talked about this, but you have to honor and respect other people. And again, I think people know it if you do it in sincerity.
Yeah.
If you just say it and it's just lip service, they pick up on that.
Yes.
But if you truly respect other people and you think of others more important than yourself, even if you disagree with them, they will realize you're coming from that with that love.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 10 is reflect and learn. So I think this is one of the most important is you have to work on yourself. After resolving a conflict, take time to reflect on the experience and identify any lessons learned. Consider what you could have done differently and improve on your conflict resolution skills.
Yep. Reflecting is really important. Basically, you're able to internalize the things that you learned, find out what went right, what went wrong, what could have been done better. And I think that's how you grow. And if you don't do that, you're missing out on an opportunity to improve in the future.
Well, what is it they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Mm-hmm.
So if you approach your team members or your employees or your clients or whoever you're having, your spouse, whoever you're having conflict with.
And it's always coming to the same conclusion. Like, it's not good.
I'm using the same approach over and over again. And and I'm expecting different results. Man, they still aren't getting it. Man, I'm gonna beat them over the head again, right?
Yeah, when it's everybody else, you know.
Well, when you're pointing the finger at everyone else as the problem, everyone's kind of looking at you like, well, actually, buddy,
you're the problem.
You're kind of the single point of failure here. You're the bottleneck. You're the issue. So, as promised, I need to tell you guys this story as we wrap up here. But I think these have been really good points. And again, I'm not perfect, but I had a situation not too long ago that I had to apply some of these things. And I had a client, we had owner financed a property to him, and he he was one of our first clients, and he just is always hit and miss with making payments. And we worked with him over and over again. We had to rework his contract multiple times. It just was always a struggle. And so I realized, okay, we got to a point where, you know, strike number four and five, it's like, okay, three strikes and you're out. Four strikes, you know, you're really, I'm extending grace well beyond. By strike number five, I'm just enabling you.
Yeah.
And that's where it got. It was interesting how the first couple of times he was appreciative. The next couple of times he was assuming, and by the end, he felt like I owed it to him. Like, why are you charging me late fees? Well, you've been late every month for the last 6 months, and you're more than 60 days late now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the progression. So that you have to, like Chris Voss's book, you have to identify who you're negotiating with, what the type of person is. And I realized I had tried every way possible to work with this person, and I saw them go through these different stages of, you know, gratefulness, you know, then assumption, and then expectation, right? And so we got to the point where we realized, okay, we're going to have to take this property back. And so I called him, and he said what he was wanting, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I figured he probably would, is he wanted money back on his property, even because he had been paying over the years and stuff. It's kind of like,
yeah,
it basically be like going to your apartment and saying, I've been here for 5 years and I can't pay my bills right now, and I'm 3 months behind, but I want my money back. Well, you have to have a place to live. Anyway, here I'm getting heated about just thinking about this. But at the same time, I had to take a pause and realize, okay, this person is systemically, you know, and repeatedly having financial issues.
Yeah.
And it's not just me. He's about to lose, you know, multiple things, his trucks, his, you know, all these different things that he had payments on. He was behind with everyone, and they were all coming at him. So one, I had to take time to understand where his perspective and where he was coming from. Then I had to stay calm and composed, because he started cussing me out almost immediately when I was like, well, we can't do this. And I was fixing to start to say, but we can do this, right?
Yeah.
But immediately he didn't take time to understand. He just immediately started lashing out, cussing me out. Well, I knew you weren't going to blah, 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 and just like goes off on me. And I did raise my voice, but I didn't raise it a lot. I raised my voice just a little bit. Instead of matching him at a 10 or a 15.
To get his attention. Yeah.
Right. Instead of matching him at a 10 or 15, I went from a 3 to a 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I said, now, Mr. So-and-so, and I took a pause, because time in a pause carries weight.
Right.
And I said, here's the thing. And then I reiterated, I've worked with you all these times. I've done this. We've done this. And I kind of laid out in a very calm, cool, and I lowered my voice back again. Here's all the things. And here's the thing. If you would have waited, here's what I was about to say. So I had to reframe him and put him on hold and say, I hear what you're saying, but here's where the situation is. Mm-hmm. And so I said all these things. And I said, and in fact, I'm not going to be able to give you as much as you want, but I'm going to give you X number of dollars to help you with your move. Even though I do not owe it to you, you're beyond the extensions in the contract. I've worked with you extensively, and you're already past the default. Technically, your contract should have already been terminated.
Right.
But so I reiterated those points, but then I said, but here's the thing. And I didn't do that in an aggressive or an arrogant way. I just brought awareness to that and said, hey, I want to help you and your family to progress through this. I want, you know, this property, we want our, when we sell to customers, we want it to be a blessing, not a burden.
Yeah.
This has become a burden. So I'm willing to work with you to unburden you with this problem. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up cutting him a check, even though we didn't know it. This is that compromise. It's going beyond what we went beyond that. And you know what? God blessed me for that. We ended up turning around, and just a couple weeks later, we resold that property after we got it back. And he left it a royal nightmare. It was just trash everywhere. He didn't live up to his end of the bargain. He was supposed to be out by a certain date. It was weeks later. But at the end of the day, we worked through it, and we ended up selling that property for tens of thousands of dollars more.
Yeah.
To a much better buyer who said, you know what, I'll clean it up for you. I'll do that as part of this. And so the thing is, if you never lose in the long term by being generous to people.
Right.
And you have to be generous in spirit and in your words and in your attitude when you're dealing with unreasonable people in dealing with conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, the goal is to be a conflict resolution ninja, right? Nimbly being able to navigate this stuff. don't be a conflict avoider, and don't be combative.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you again for joining me on this quest to discover the art of conflict resolution, Tony, and I appreciate your time today.
Yep.
All right. Good stuff. For everyone who has tuned in to the podcast, be sure to subscribe if you haven't already, share it with a friend, and check out our website, theblessedbusiness.com, for more information, and feel free to check out the links below for links to the different books and recommendations in the show notes. Thank you. Have a blessed day, and tune in next time.